We'll get to the Mets in just a second, but I did see a little note here from the Yankees BT, newsworthy. Okay. As you know, Aaron Boone joins Talking Yanks podcast every Tuesday. Giancarlo Stanton going to be in left field tonight in Houston.
That makes sense. He was there in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Smaller fence. It's basically like, you know, him in right field for Yankees. They're only smaller. So that makes sense.
So Stanton has not played left field since September of 2023 in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Another short
fence.
That's
a long time ago. Yeah. Boone also added that Aaron Judge is getting close to playing the field, but they don't have a date set yet.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to mess that one up again there, Booty, with Aaron Judge with the timeline.
I mean, how about Judge? Are you getting out there or not? You ripped the manager because he said that you weren't going to be 100%. Season's almost over, bro. You got 20-something games to go.
Well, he's just starting to hit. I mean, that's all I care about. Listen, we can say whatever we want. Obviously, if Aaron Judge could throw the baseball properly, he would be in right field. Anybody that doubts his commitment to getting back to right field is flat out nuts.
My issue is not doubting his commitment. It's that he ripped the manager for saying that he didn't say he wasn't going to come back. Mm-hmm. He just said that he doesn't think he's going to be 100% at all this year.
Yeah.
That was weeks ago. Remember. He hasn't even set foot in the outfield. So So you ripped the manager for saying something accurate? It's not his fault you're hurt.
Well, the thing that bothered me about that was, you know, when I didn't think it was a great look for Aaron when he said, you know, I haven't seen him throw yet.
Right.
That was the thing that jumped out to me. And then obviously Judge's response, you and I talked about this a little bit. I felt like he threw Aaron under the bus. I mean, Aaron's been, you know, really going out of his way. That's his style. That's his managerial style, to protect the guys in the clubhouse and the locker room and keep it sacred and not railroad him in the press. And then I thought Aaron's words got away from him. I think they also seem a little more harsh and black and white than the actual tone when you listen to it. But it wasn't a great look for Aaron Judge. I don't dispute that.
Yeah, well, and the point is, he still, weeks later, still hasn't been in the outfield. And the problem is that now you're going to have a situation where you get Giancarlo Stanton in left field, where he's done a nice job, but he's not an outfielder at this point in his career. He can't do it consecutively. You hold your breath and say, well, the guy's doing something he hasn't done in 2 years, playing the outfield since 2023.
Playing left field, yeah.
Yeah, playing the left field.
I listen, you get him out there, you pick your spots. It's obviously not ideal, and this is going to be a series. I don't want to get to the Mets too here, obviously, but this is going to be a series where we're going to start to learn a little bit more about these Yankees. You would have loved to have swept the White Sox. Instead, you get 3 out of 4. You know, you obviously beat a bad team before that, but this is really judgment time for the Yankees. And if Stanton could give you anything on a short field, whether it's Fenway in the left, whether it's in Houston in the left, whether it's in right in the Bronx, you know, it can preserve his body, and it gives him a chance to play both Judge and Stanton, which is what we're looking for.
That's what you have to have. You have to have both their bats in the lineup. So obviously we understand that, and that's why he's going to be in left field tonight. All right, as it pertains to the Mets, a big win yesterday. The conversation we've had all year long has been about Juan Soto and how it's been a quote-unquote down year for Soto. And to me, the only real, you can talk about the batting average, it's fine, but the only real tangible thing that would say that it was a down year for him was the fact that he was not hitting with runners in scoring position, which is something that everybody expected that he was eventually going to do. Well, he's now starting to do that, to the tune of a ridiculous level that now, when you look at his numbers, and it's not just because he's been hot with runners in scoring position for the last, I don't know, 10 games, whatever it's been exactly, his numbers overall, like, he's having not only, I was going to say historic season in baseball overall, which could end up being that, but certainly one of the great seasons we've ever seen from a New York Met, period, end of story.
I don't disagree, but I'm not surprised. I mean, listen, the frustration, I can't speak for anybody but myself, the frustration for me with Juan Soto was the sluggish start. And when you sign that kind of a contract, that's just the way it goes. Like, Beltran got booed year one, 16 home runs, big deal, not good enough, wake up. It's happening Yankees as well, and it's going to always happen. That's just the way it goes. So, you know, April, I know it's an antiquated stat, but when I see 230 next to Juan Soto's name in April, that's unacceptable because he's too good for that. When I see in the month of May hit 219, I'm like, that's not Juan Soto. I never once thought Juan Soto wouldn't wake up. But to me, that's burying the lead, because Juan Soto is an amazing hitter, and Juan Soto's on a tear, and now I watch Juan Soto dig into the box, and I expect Juan Soto to absolutely do damage. That's not the problem with the Mets. The problem with the Mets is, outside of McLain, their pitching staff stinks. So it, like...
Well, it's not the problem, but it is a big deal, because it's been the major talking point all year with Soto. Like, we'll get to the pitching in a second. We do have to acknowledge... Dude,
he's been phenomenal. But, I know. He's been great.
But he's going to have... But
he's been great.
No, not just great. Like, he's going to have 40... He's got 36 homers. Mm-hmm. He's going to have 40 homers, and he's going to get 100 ribbies, which is unbelievable to think about where he was at with runners in scoring position. You're talking about 40 and 100. It may be different for the Yankees. It's that that's not often. For
I get it.
Not to mention the he's got 26 stolen bases, leads the league in walks, 100 runs scored. Like, this is a freaking phenomenal year, even with the slow start in April. I remember getting on for the first 20 games, and it was reacting to his poor performance in those 20 games, never doubting that he was going to get it turned on, but turned on to this level. This is a ridiculous season for Juan Soto, numbers-wise. Fill in the box with all kinds of stats.
Listen, I think next year, and if there's no work stoppage after that, I think Juan Soto has a year or two or three or four where he hits 290-something, 302, 303. Like, I expect that out of Juan Soto. But there's a fine line for me. Whilst there's no doubt his season in totality has been, I mean, it's up there. I saw some credit, like maybe the first ever to do whatever, this and the 40 home runs, 30 steals, 100 runs, 100 RBIs, and there was one other component, whatever it was, maybe it wasn't 200 hits, whatever it was. He's obviously starting to flirt with some stuff that's amazing, but that does, it's not like those of us, and you were one of them, and I was certainly one of them, that were criticizing his start were wrong.
Right.
He has just turned it up to a level that has now changed the tone of the conversation, which I fully expected to happen. He's Juan Soto. Right. There's a reason why the Yankees wanted to give him 750 and the Mets gave him 750, whatever it was, 755. I mean, this is not a mid-level player who was having a big-time season. He's Juan Soto. Right, He's supposed to.
But there was a lot of criticism towards Soto and his slow season or his down season.
And rightfully so.
But that's where I'm going to disagree. I got on him for the first 20 games of the season.
Yep.
There were people who were doubting that he was going to do this, number one, wrong. And number two, just saying overall his numbers are going to be down. His numbers are not. Batting average, yes. Everything else, equal or up.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Yeah. But understood, like, if Juan Soto is on pace for 120, like, there are guys in baseball that have 100 RBIs already.
Right.
One of them is his teammate,
right,
Pete Alonso. So he's going to get to 100 RBIs, and based on what he did yesterday, maybe 103, 104, 105, he's on a ridiculous tear.
His career high is 110.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So if he gets to 100...
His career high homers is 41.
I understand. No, I understand. The home runs, he's been on an absolute vicious tear with the home runs, but that doesn't change anything that I've thought or others have thought, because I never once said that he's not going to wake up. Now, those of like people who said Juan Soto's destined to have a Beltran-type year one with the Mets... Well, then they need to get on the apology tour. What I was saying, two very different things. Dude, you're getting $50 million a year. Act like it, which he now is, which is good to see for the Mets.
Well, yeah.
And the second component was, did I ever believe that he would wake up and put numbers that were in the neighborhood of what he usually does? And just for me, my answer was, yeah. Now, it was frustrating watching him crawl and fail in clutch situations, but to close the door on Juan Soto... You're an idiot. Well, I don't know what to tell people. You didn't think he was going to wake up and hit?
Well, there's a lot of people calling him Juan Solo. I mean, that's a ridiculous notion as well. Like, no, he's had a terrific first year with the Mets. I mean, could it be better? I mean, I guess. But at the end of it, he's going to do something that maybe no other Met ever has done, depending on where he finishes with the stolen bases and home runs and RBI. But he's on pace for, you know, his historic season from a Mets perspective in year one, even with his slow start, a quote-unquote down year. And the best is yet to come for me, and that's the only thing that matters, because what happens prior to today really doesn't mean anything, mm-hmm. and what happens before October really doesn't mean anything.
Yep.
If he struggles in October, that's going to be the focal point. If he goes nuts in October, that's going to be the focal point. But he is now showing, like, the last thing that we needed to see from my perspective was hitting with guys on base. He's done that at an absurd level over the last couple of weeks.
He has, and it's changed the tenor of how his season is perceived. But again, there was a point where he literally had the worst average with runners in scoring position. So I'm just making sure we get some separation. What was said about Juan Soto was never inaccurate. I think what either frustrated some or confused others was whether or not Juan Soto would go back to being Juan Soto. For me, I always thought that he would. For the others, I don't think they really know baseball. They didn't really watch Juan play for the Nationals or for the Yankees last year. This is not surprising.
Right.
This is what he's supposed to do.
Oh, no,
one of the best in baseball.
But we did. Well, yes. Agree. But you and I have had some arguments where maybe it didn't feel like that from your perspective.
No, but hold on. I agree. But they weren't arguments. I think they were debates, number one. And they were debates about what he was doing at that moment, which was at that point the worst average with runners in scoring position. I didn't just pull that out of thin air.
Right, but
if Aaron Judge had the worst average, worst RI, worst, right. worst RISP, I'd be like, dude, wake up. What right. the hell are you doing?
Right.
Wake up.
But when it was the one thing missing and we both said it was going to change, then look at the season overall. Like,
yes, and that's why I'm saying it's been phenomenal.
Juan Soto has received more criticism this year than any Met that I could recall that it's had, maybe ever, it's had this type of year.
I probably agree with that.
Like, this is absurd.
I agree with that.
This is not Beltran year one who had 15 or 16 home runs, whatever it was.
Yep.
Like, this guy's going to, he's going to end up with 40 and 100 and lead the league in walks and have 100 runs scored. Like,
yeah, but Sal, think about this. You shouldn't be, maybe it was unfair to an extent, Although some of the early, again, I don't want to keep it, the early numbers with Juan, they were what they were. And people out
he's
there,
he's not worth the contract.
No, yeah, well, that's where you knew, you just knew. Now, if he came from the Padres or the Dodgers for that money, it would have been crazy hype and crazy, and maybe at times unfair analysis or overreactions. The fact that he came from the Yankees for that amount of money, there was no escaping this. So it was up to him to prove that he's Juan Soto, which I always knew that he would. The onus wasn't on me to provide reasons why he's hitting 220 in May.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that wasn't on me to do that.
Here's, I guess, the biggest argument that you and I have had. Now, I'm not saying that Juan Soto was some complete overall player. However, if, and this is still an if, because there's 4 games to go and he's got to finish these numbers. Somebody was sending me this tweet before. If Juan Soto gets to 40 homers, he's got 36 right now.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets to 30 stolen bases, he's got 26 right now.
This is what I was trying to reference before. This is a good one.
Yeah. And yep. and
40 bombs, 30 steals. Yep.
All right. 40, 30 steals, and 100 ribbies. He's got 90. It would be one of the most complete seasons since 2000. 40 homers, 30 steals, 100 ribbies, 100 runs scored, 100 walks has not been done since Bonds and Bagwell. Bonds did it in 96 and 97, and Bagwell did it in 97 and 99.
On juice, by the way. We think, allegedly, right? Who knows what was going on back then?
Yeah,
allegedly,
let's
slide that in there, Major. No, listen.
That was the assumption.
Think about, though, now let's just juxtapose Juan Soto's season. Let's say that Juan Soto came out in April playing like this.
Right.
Then everybody would have been fair to him unless they were just trolls.
And it wasn't just April, to your point, because I remember saying, okay, well, now it's going to be the Yankee series, and he was awful in that Yankee series.
Dude, he hit 219 in May.
I get it, but he had an all-time June.
No question. Player of the month.
Yeah, he's been on some kind of tear now that normal players can't go on.
I'm expecting him, when he digs in, I am expecting him to barrel one to the moon these days.
All right, now.
That's what I feel about Soto.
Now for the big issue, now that we've got
the
that
real issue.
He's not
from a team perspective. Soto's an asset.
All right, so we know it's the rotation. I'd be curious to get your take on this. I've been giving this a lot of thought over the last 2 weeks, you know, spending a lot of time off, whether it's walking the dog, sitting in the pool, watching the game, thinking about it.
Well, your dog is a lot of energy.
He's
Maddox is not, Sal doesn't, because we're at the barbecue, you know, half of the family's there a couple weeks. Like, you can't just say, oh, Maddox, like, he's up your ass. You got to take Maddox.
You throw the wiffle ball, you hit it, he's going to get it.
He wants attention, that pooch, huh?
So trying to walk him and play ball. Anyway, so I'm thinking about the rotation. What would you do to fix it? For me, like, I think the Mets are going to make the playoffs. They're four up on the Reds. Okay.
So do I. They're up four,
And by the way, that's a whole other conversation. Like, is it good enough to just back into the playoffs? Don't really care if you do the proper damage in the postseason.
Correct.
Just get there.
That's a post-end-of-the-year conversation.
Correct. Okay. You want to win the division? Likely not going to happen.
Yep.
Just get to the playoffs. And I do think they're going to benefit from getting there where things get crunched, okay? Mm-hmm. Shorter postseason, you know, shorter series. You don't have to have 5 or 6 starters.
Agreed.
So assuming they get there, the issue that I have is I cannot start. No, let me rephrase that. I cannot pitch Kodai Senga. He's out of the picture for me. He's not going to be good out of the bullpen. I'm not messing with that, and I'm not having him start a game. So as of right now, September 2nd, whatever it is, I'm not having him in the rotation. McLean would be one. This is game one.
Yep.
Peterson, you could, if you want to have Peterson game one, that's fine too. I'd go McLean 1, Peterson 2. I would go Clay Holmes 3. I would move Manaea to the bullpen and try to use Manaea as a weapon out of the pen. That gives you Manaea, Diaz, Raley, Soto, Rogers, at least 5 right there. Helsley's got some time to get himself right. As of now, I don't know how you could trust him.
God, dude, even the balls yesterday on the screws, right down the line, even the out, bullet. Good God.
He's worth trying to squeeze whatever is he could be the last guy on the postseason roster.
Uh-huh.
But he's still got, like, he's throwing 101.
And 102 he hit yesterday, by the way. 102. And he's probably tipping.
Okay.
That's what they were talking about yesterday again.
But still.
No, he's getting lit up, dude. He's a mess.
If you knew 102 was coming, it shouldn't be that easy to turn it around. And these guys are. So,
yep.
Point is, I feel pretty good with that. So, my solution would be Senga out, IL, see you later, whatever. Manaea to the pen. Now, you also could call up Sproat. You have Tong in this situation, mm-hmm. Tyler McGill coming back. Those could be useful arms when you're trying to put together a staff for the postseason. But as far as the starting rotation goes, I would immediately take Senga out and replace him with Sproat, and I'd take Manaea out, move him to the pen, and replace him with Tyler McGill when he comes back.
I have no issue moving Manaea to the pen. My fear is that he's actually just not healthy. So even if you move him to the pen, what kind of results do you get? I mean, first pitch yesterday, moonshot, bullet home run. He's been awful. Peterson, who I've always really trusted, has been awful. Obviously, Senga's a mess. Listen, I'm with you on your instincts on Senga. Like, if I'm the Mets, enough of the training wheels, enough of trying to placate this guy. Dude, you are in major. This is year three. This is not year one transitioning from foreign baseball. You are now here. You should know the deal. You should know how to prep yourself in between starts. And they very well might six-man rotation. Stop trying to move mountains for a guy who nibbles and just can't get through five without throwing 80 pitches. I am not doing anything. So I guess I'm with you with Senga. He is incredibly frustrating to watch. I don't care if he ever pitches again. Push him aside. I'm not trying to save him. I'm not trying to salvage him. I don't trust him. I don't believe in him. And I really always liked Senga more than you. Done with Senga.
And how are you going to get him? Like, at least Helsley, you could make the case, okay, well, you put him in for an inning.
Yeah, like 7-1 game, 6-2,
With Senga, what are you going to do? You can't start him.
No, you can't.
If they start him again, they need their heads examined. You cannot start him. I don't think he's pitchable. But if you then, okay, let's say we're going to put him in the bullpen. You're going to put Senga in the bullpen?
Not the way he's a creature of habit. And that's part of the problem. And listen, I understand when you bring somebody over from Japan, you want to hasten the transition. You want to do what you have to do. You know, really manipulate that off day so it almost replicates the six-man rotation that he was used to. Yeah, I get it, but the greater good, and they know this. This is why I think the Mets will ultimately make the right decision. It's not about holding his hand forever. It's about winning a World Series.
Correct.
And the guy that you're running out right now is batting practice. He stinks.
You can't do it. Worry about him in the offseason or next year. You can't worry about his ego right now. Helsley, the reason why I feel, like I said, I think it's at least worth trying to salvage because you're not going to have many better options. You're talking about at this point, Stanek, Reed, Garrett. You got to have some guys. You got to find 14 guys come postseason time. We could get into the conversation about Jonah Tong as well and maybe Sproat when we come back. But I think it's salvageable once they get to the postseason as far as getting there. I mean, his body, you know.
They're going to get there. You're right. The Reds, even though the Reds came back and won that game yesterday, right? The Reds are four back, as you
Phillies
said.
And Reds both came back yesterday.
Yeah, so the Phillies, the Reds came back. They gave up a home run late. They were down 3-2 in the night. They came back and they won it right. So, I mean, listen, yesterday was a weird game. Mets come out. The bats are clicking right away. Manaea had nothing. Then we went through the mechanics of the game to an extent here. But this is no longer sustainable. Like, they've got to make some tough decisions. I believe that they will. Want to get into this coming up. I do worry. Like, there should be nothing thought of. There should be no internal debate. Game one, playoffs, McClain must get the baseball. I don't know if they'll acquiesce to him as a rookie. If they don't, they're nuts. He's special. He's by far the best pitcher on the team. It's not even close.
We're talking about the Mets rotation and Soto and all that stuff before the break. You mentioned it, BT. You'd have McClain start game one. I probably would too, but I don't see a big difference if he starts game two. Like, either way, he's going to be in the rotation. I wouldn't push him back beyond the second game if they feel like they want to just go with a veteran for game one and have McClain game. Like, either way, there's going to be pressure, whether it's game one or if they lose game one, then in game two to save the season in a wild card spot. So I don't necessarily, for me, I wouldn't make a big deal if he's named game two starter and not game one.
I wouldn't mess around with that. I mean, I'm sure some of you saw this. The Mets just had a month in the month of August, right, where from an offensive perspective, they had the most runs they've ever scored in a month. They had 53 home runs, which was the most home runs they've ever had in a month. The Mets as a team in August hit 285, which is amazing in the year 2025, and had an OPS of 866 for the entire month, and they were 11-17 because their starters stink. Now, I understand what, like, the Yankees would do this a lot with Pettit back in the day, where Pettit would come back and win game two a couple times against the Twins, blah, blah, blah. Like, you like to have that rock there in the second spot, just in case you drop the first one. But I don't think anybody deserves it. I mean, right? Unless things radically change over this final month and a few starts for everybody where Peterson wakes up or Mania wakes up and forget about saying I'm with you there. Or, God forbid, from a baseball perspective, from McClain, he really regresses, which I don't anticipate as well. I think he is the real deal. His stuff plays great and his attitude is awesome. McClain is amazing.
Yeah, okay.
There's no way I'm not running out there game one say, go get me a win.
Fair enough. I just wouldn't have, like, game one, game two, you got to win two games anyway. You might as well have.
But if I start him game one, there's a chance maybe I could bring him back later in the series. If I start him game two,
well,
I can't.
Not in a three-game series.
Well, that's true.
Also, maybe it could depend on, and I'm sure they mapped this stuff out, like, hey, if we win this series in two games, now we could get him to pitch whatever game. You're right, maybe ideally, and by the way, it also could depend on how they finish. Do they need McClain in the finals?
To wrap up the wild card, you mean?
You just don't know based on the
days. I think they'll be all right.
All I'm saying is, I guess it doesn't matter. As long as he's pitching one of the first two games, then to me it really doesn't matter. But yes, looking forward, here's the way that you would do it. How would you rank your confidence level in all of the Mets starters?
You want me to name them by name or give you a group summary? McClain's an A. McClain's an A.
Who do you have the most confidence in? Rank them in the
McClain one.
Right, okay, me
too. Honestly, probably Holmes number two, just to give you a couple of decent innings and not have that awful inning. Peterson's been very bad, but I'll say Peterson.
Yeah, and that's why I had those guys one, two, and three. I would go Peterson. I think he's just had a couple of bad starts. It happens, even to the best of them.
But he's also pitched more innings than he ever has. Like, well, he had to monitor some stuff with him. So was Holmes too.
But yes, like those to me, those three would be definitive. If you want to include Senga, Mania, Tong, McGill, and Sproat, those would be the only other. Like, how are you ranking any of those ahead of McClain, Peterson, Holmes? You can't. It's impossible.
What if Tong goes bonkers these final couple of weeks? That could change. Yeah. That's fluid, obviously.
But you're still going to need four.
Yep.
So, Tong to me right now is penciled in as a number four.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have Sproat, who's an unknown, but I have no confidence in Mania and Senga starting at this point. No part of Senga, and I move Mania to the pen. Only because, you touched on this before, well, out of the pen, how's he going to be any good? Mania at least, since he's come back, has shown dominance, but for a few innings.
Yes, not yesterday's much, though.
No, okay, but that's...
But, yeah, that's just been his M.O.
Okay, three innings of dominance, even four innings, maybe a little bit. So I'm moving him to the pen, saying he could be a weapon out of the pen.
Uh-huh.
Let me lock this down. I need three innings of dominance from him or two innings. Let's go to Mania here. That's what I would do and try to make the most of a potentially useful piece.
It makes sense, but now think about how we'd feel about the Mets, and I actually, believe it or not, even with all the pitching, you know, issues, I still feel pretty good about the Mets here because their offense is rolling, and I do think there's enough arms down to the pen to navigate close games in the postseason. I do believe they'll get there, and McClain is just filthy. But just imagine if the Mets pitching staff was, like, imagine if you had Peterson or Mania from last year. You know, those numbers in August that I just gave you, you have a team OPS of 870, and you hit 53 home runs, and you hit 285, and you score the most runs you've ever scored in any month in the history of the Mets, and you go 11-17? Now, it's not just all the starters. The bullpen had some issues, too, in certain spots. But, God, the starters. And, you know, you can't punctuate this conversation without at least bringing up one name that needs to be brought up when we're talking about starters, and that's Stearns.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. It's not just the way that he built the rotation coming into the year. It's also at the trade deadline, not getting a starter, picking the wrong bullpen guy in Helsley to get. To me, their three biggest culprits, and again, it's always in my mind, stems from expectation versus result.
Mm-hmm.
The three biggest culprits to me by far, Senga, Mania, Helsley. The expectation versus results. The expectation for Mania and Senga would be the best two starting pitchers in the rotation.
I think you probably nailed all three.
And right now they're unpitchable. You can't have them start. Helsley, same thing. The expectation was he's going to be a lights-out reliever to complement Edwin Diaz. Lock it down, 8-9. Right now, Helsley is borderline unpitchable.
He's the worst on the team.
Good God. Right,
he's worse than Senga. Helsley is... I don't know what he is right now.
I think Senga's worse. I still feel like Helsley, I don't know what the hell.
Senga still gets a few outs.
Yeah.
I mean, the first pitch he throws, bang, rock down the line, triple. Next pitch, bang. I mean, literally, bang. Line drive to Nimmo. Helsley, listen, like you, I watch every Met game. Every time he pitches, he gets rocked.
It doesn't make any sense. Because
no,
when
it
you
doesn't.
Have nasty
unless
stuff
he's dipping.
Like, But even if you could, even if you knew, even if I told you what's coming, I'm going to throw a fastball here. Good luck trying to hit it.
Yeah.
At 102?
I would have no chance. Major league hitters, even at 102, if they know it's coming, they're going to barrel it.
Yeah,
they know.
On
especially
hat.
If they don't have to worry about a deuce, you know, messing them up or change up.
He can't throw the slider for a strike, which is another big issue.
And he throws it very hard anyway, so there's not much differentiation between his fastball and a slider. Usually a slider is pretty nasty when it's good. But if you're a major league hitter and you know what's coming, and it's at the most blistering pace, velocity-wise, in the league, they're still licking their chops.
Yeah,
they don't care.
I get it, and they've been tattooing. I still would. I don't know if hope is the right word here. I still am trying to salvage any way possible Helsley, because I think he could still be a useful piece. I do not think Senga could be a useful piece at all the rest of the way. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Mario's on Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
What's going on? Good show, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, listen, you know what I would do? This is very interesting, right? Because I was thinking about it. I think the new pitcher, the kid, was McClain, right?
Yeah.
He's got three games already, so we pump the brakes a little bit. We don't know he's great yet in three games. He looks that way so far. A lot of pressure on him. Senga has pitched great a lot of times, even still his ERA is 3.04. Terrible lately. You're right, Sal, about he's unpitchable now and all that. I might start him in a game and have a very quick leash and then go with McClain like the second or third inning, the second he falters for a second out.
Why was your hold on, Mario? I appreciate, you know, coming up with options, and that's fine. You've got to be a little creative here because the Mets rotation's a mess, but that's not one that I would mess around with. Why would you run the risk? Think about what you're saying. Let's go with Senga, and if it gets rocked, go to McClain. So you would neutralize McClain's effectiveness if you hand him a deficit. Why not just come out, pump up 5 or 6 zeros and whiff 9 guys and go out and get the hammer and win? I'm not messing around with Senga.
Well, the only reason I would do that, I think it puts less pressure on McClain, and I would not let him give up a lot of runs. The second I see something wrong, even if it's one
does
run,
it look
he's
like
out,
he's, does so it look like he's
game.
Does it look like he's overwhelmed by the stage? He's basically saved their season.
Yeah, and you could say that while he's a young kid, it's only been 3 games. You're right. We don't know. However, what we do know is he's their best pitcher right now.
No question.
It's not even a question. So it might only be, well, it's only 3 games. He's their best. He's their best shot. You've got to figure it out. You hope you catch lightning in a bottle here with him the rest of the way. You hope maybe Tom could give you something similar. Who knows when they call up Sprope, but they're going to have to do it. I was of the belief of having to have guys piggyback with the way that Holmes, Senga, and Manaea were going. I don't know if I do that anymore. Moving Manaea to the pen is essentially a piggyback, let's say, for Clay Holmes. But why restrict yourself to saying, well, I'm only going to use Manaea if Holmes gets in trouble or on a Holmes game? Like, if you're going to move him to the pen, just move him to the pen and load your bullpen up. They could theoretically have McGill, Sproat, Manaea in that pen along with Rogers and Reed Garrett, Soto, Raley Diaz. Like, that's a pretty loaded pen
in
the event that you get Holmes to go 4 1/3 or whatever it may be.
The Mets have a lot of capable arms down there. They do. A lot of quality relief arms. And now this is going to be interesting to see how they configure the rotation. Hey, listen, you've said this for a while, too, about the economics of the game and devoting so much resource, so much money and so many resources to starting pitching when starting pitching's been mitigated recently.
Yeah.
We saw the Dodgers a year ago. That's true. I agree. I don't know if I agreed with you initially. I do agree with you. But when you have a guy who can come out and look like one of the best pitchers in baseball, even though it's a small sample, I'm not messing around, and I'm giving him the baseball as soon and as frequently as I can, and that's McClain.
100%.
He's unbelievable. I love him.
He's one of their best guys. The only guy that would even potentially be in the conversation would be Peterson,
mm-hmm.
who has been the Mets' most consistent pitcher all year long. But right now, McClain's the best.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Bold face truth, bold face lie. Hoff, before we get started today on this Tuesday, can you tell me because I'm forgetting his name, the name of the Yankee rookie pitcher who has come up and had success this year?
Cam.
Would you mess it up over the weekend?
What no, happened? But Boomer Geo were saying I probably can't say the name. So
because
sure, of his big
well,
tongue.
Because, yes, and there's a lot of different ways we can go with this in a bad way. So get ready for the dump button, Dove. Cam Schlittler.
Atta boy. Schlitt.
Any chance I get, I'm going to follow Gio's orders there. He said,
I will. Yeah, I was going to call in and start talking about Cam Schlittler, to be honest with you, but I chose not to.
Just hyphenated. Yeah. Honestly, in your mind, hyphenated, you said.
I'm just calling him Cam. Split it up. Screw that. Yeah. He's just Cam. That's
Cam
it.
Cam S. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, it's my turn. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. Let's start with BT, since we've been on the Juan Soto kick here. Juan Soto will eclipse his personal home run and RBI total this season.
So he'd have to get to, what, 40 and 110? I'm going to say bald-faced truth.
He needs 42 home runs.
So it would be 42.
42 and 111.
So he would need six more homers, and he would need, or would you say how many ribbies? 11? Yeah. No.
21.
21, sorry, yeah. 11 would get him over 100.
The home runs, no pause. That's a bald-faced truth.
Just a reminder, he had four home runs and 11 RBIs in the past four games.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but 21 ribbies here.
Yeah, 21 ribbies with a lot of baseball to go. You know what? I'm going to say bald-faced lie. I think he'll get there halfway. I think fairly comfortably with the home runs, couple short of the ribbies. Close.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's a bald-faced lie as well. You know me, as much as I love Juan Soto, I'm hoping that he gets the 40 and 100 from, you know what's weird? I've never followed a player's stats. Like yesterday, as I'm watching this game, I was watching outside trying to enjoy the last day by the pool, or at least one of the last days by the pool, and I let out a scream. My wife's like, what the hell? I was actually grilling yesterday. You'd be proud.
Oh, well, there you go.
Fired up the grill for the second
about
time this summer.
About 2 weeks too late.
We come to order food, which we appreciate. We're not there to grill.
You want me to cook a hot dog?
Dude, your mother crushed you on Wednesday, by the way.
What do you mean?
Oh, she's like, I was like, oh, Sal's a great host. And she's like, is he really now? Let me guess what he served you. And she went down the
list. She's a big Jersey Mike's mama as well.
Yeah, she loves the Jersey Mike's. As a matter of fact, she did try to cater, but we kept being out during the summer, so we got to get that on the books here. Anyway, point is, I yelled out loudly for Soto, big scream that I'm sure my neighbors were thrilled with for that grand slam yesterday. I've never followed a player's stats so closely or rooted for somebody to get numbers like I have Juan Soto. So I really want the 40 and 100, but I don't think he's going to get anywhere close to 110 ribbies. That is 24 games to go. He's going to have 21 more ribbies.
Again, he had 11 RBIs in four games. Anything can happen.
Dude, if he gets it, I wouldn't be surprised with the homers. I think he's going to finish with 40 and like 103, something like that.
That's by the way, I could see why it's so personal. I mean, everything that went into the whole Juan Soto thing. Now, I've always been more numbers than you.
Yeah.
So, but you're...
Right, I'm not a numbers guy by nature.
No, but you're invested in this, and I'm just put myself in your shoes or Loogie's shoes or Evan's shoe, like Met fan, Hoff, obviously. I mean, it would mean the world because it's addressing so many different things. Number one, it's helping the Mets. Number two, you know, it's the whole, whether people want to admit it or not, the backdrop of the Yankees. And eventually that's going to expire, but it's year one,
right.
So it hasn't fully expired yet.
There has never been a player that I wanted more or believed in more. Like, there have been players that you want. Sure, okay, yeah, Beltran, I wanted Beltran. But then you see the bad first year, like, all right, it happens, I guess. I wanted Soto more than anybody because I knew that he was not going to struggle year one. Got off to that slow start, and now all of a sudden you're looking at it, he's going to put up a historic season.
You like him better than Matt Harvey? I know Matt's your boy, or Ray Ordóñez.
Yeah, Soto has surpassed all of them. Except that outfit that he was wearing yesterday. He looked like a mime. Did you see that?
I didn't happen to see the outfit.
You didn't see his post-game?
The post-game? I didn't see it.
His post-game, that's what they're called, right? Mimes?
You know, the pant, like with the white, where they don't speak.
He had a black shirt with a, and it was, you know, fitted shirt, because that's what Soto does.
Yeah.
With the white stripes, he looked like a mime.
He does look good in uniform.
Mime's the face paint.
A lot of neons, the oranges, the arm sleeves, one orange, one white, the belt.
Dude, I liked him before, but he has been criticized to a ridiculous level. People talking about his weight gain or him being unhappy. By the way, there is something that I want to get to that happened over the course of last week that pertains to Soto. We'll do that later on as far as some of the comments that he made about one of the leaders on the team.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do that, so remind me later. Go ahead, Hoff.
All right, I'll get by the way, if this is Juan Soto's bad season, I can't wait to see how he does in a good season.
I'm honestly worried he might not have a season like this again. I'm not kidding, dude. You think he got, to say he's getting 40 home runs, only done once before. Four, so all right, go ahead.
All right, sorry. Let's go. Done with Soto for now.
You sure?
Give me 5 minutes. Bold-faced lie, bold-faced truth. Sal, Jets will make the first official change at the starting QB position before the Giants this season.
That's a bold-faced truth, unfortunately, because I don't think field style of play is conducive to staying healthy the entire year. We're talking about a permanent change, like, who will, other than the starting quarterbacks.
At some point in time, whether it's a game or two, whatever
start
it is,
a game,
someone
else is going to replace. Not just plays or anything like that.
And not because he's hurt, like just based on.
They're going to sub in a new quarterback for the.
Not due to injury?
I mean, listen, I leave it up for interpretation,
I was going to say, I would say it this way. The backup quarterback will start a game for the Jets before the backup starts for the Giants. But if you're taking injury out of that, then no, there's no way. I don't think Fields would ever lose the job based on merit this year. Mm-hmm. Who's he going to lose it to?
Nobody. The kid from Missouri, nobody. Yeah. He's not going to lose it. Unless he gets hurt, he's playing every game. Right. They're going to run him into the ground. Then there's really no reason not to. Like, they didn't draft him first in the first round. They didn't give him first round contract money. He's paid middle of the road, so they are going to put him in space. And if he gets hurt, he gets popped, they're not going to care. They're going to try to run for 1,000 yards with him. So he's the guy. He is absolutely, no question, the guy. Now, I'm not sure he's going to have a great season, but I'm saying in their minds, they're fully committed to him.
Right. So would you say
bald face sly? They're not going to go to anybody else. He's the quarterback.
So even if they're like 1-6 or 1-7,
there's nobody to go to. Who are you going to go to? Tyrod Taylor?
But then do you think the Giants will have a backup? If you factor in potential for injury,
mm-hmm.
when we're sitting here doing these shows, whatever week it may be, which team is going to have the backup quarterback? Whether it's Jameis, whether it's Dark.
It's going to be the Giants.
Okay. So that's where we just...
Justin Fields healthy. He plays all 17 games.
Okay. All right. Final question, and I'm going to do this each week because that's what I told BT. So we're going to keep on doing it until...
I think I heard some of this the other day, driver.
Yeah. So Ballface Lie, Ballface Truth, BT. Mets mm-hmm. and Yankees will both make the playoffs.
Ballface Truth. Ballface Truth here. This has been fluid. Many a twist and turns to this wacky season. Yeah, I feel very good about the Mets outlasting the Reds for the wild card. Don't think they'll win the division. That has not changed. I really didn't think the Yanks are going to win the division. And within 2.5 games, you got a chance, obviously. So I feel better about that, but not convinced, but definitely convinced they're a playoff team, no doubt. Both teams will be in bald-faced truth.
Yeah, it's a bald-faced truth. Come on. The question should be whether one would win the division.
Well, I think I'm going to have to upgrade it to... Well, last week it was a little more dicey on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was more applicable. It made more sense. Yeah, maybe update it soon, but listen, now the Yankees are playing a good team. A couple of good teams, so things could change fast. I mean, it is
a 12-game gauntlet for the Yankees.
No question.
But I never felt the Yankees were going to miss the postseason. I never really even felt the Mets were going to miss the postseason, although they were really testing our patience. The Yankees had maybe a week where it was like, oh, I don't know, the Mets are around, but did we really believe they weren't going to make the postseason? I felt like they were going to win the division. I said that a while ago, even through the storm. I don't think Toronto's that good, and the Yankee schedule is going to get soft here to close out the season, so I'd expect them to play better against Toronto and Boston this go-around. I don't know about Houston. Who knows there, but... Yeah, I think the Yankees are still going to win the division. So maybe you should next week
I'll do the division just for you guys.
But what if they lose four straight or they get swept by the Astros? It's still a playoff thing, maybe.
That's why it's week to week.
I like it.
Exactly.
All right, there you have a little bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie.